In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
I have been doing my homework for this program.
Okay. I thought you were just talking about homework in general. I was like, I don't see how calculus or geometry is going to solve anything here. I'm not saying it doesn't have real world application, but I don't know how you apply that to a podcast that's about streaming services.
Okay. So many things I want to talk about. I'm going to save the big one for last, and I'll just run through some of these quickly. I watched a four-part episode called Evil Genius. And as I'm watching it, because I really didn't know what it was, I thought, I'll just let it roll. And Evil Genius is about a case that happened in the 80s where, and you may recall it because there's video footage of it, or maybe could have been the 90s. Wasn't the aughts. But anyway, the video footage is there's a man sitting in front of a police car. There are police around him, but not near him. And he's talking to them. And then he blows up. Yes, because he has a bomb around his neck.
Okay, that was my neck. Like, he just blows up
He just blows up. And I just remembered seeing that footage, but it doesn't start out with that. So I was like, what is this about?
Now,
and it starts out with so-and-so was a strange little girl. I was like, what? Where are we going with this? And it is about all of the people involved in what was called the Pizza Bomber.
That's not a very threatening name.
It's fascinating in that three of the people involved, all hoarders. Hoarders, mind you.
Like they just, hoarders. They wouldn't throw away newspapers?
Oh, my word.
So it's almost like a serial killer, but he just has a weird fetish for...
So strange.
Like people that won't, you know, toss out aluminum cans?
It's incredibly strange. Well, the man who made this documentary had heard about it. And as he said, he was in between jobs. So he gets funding to make this documentary. And at the time... except for the unfortunate man with the bomb around his neck,
so
everyone's alive.
He doesn't have a job, and instead of going out and filling out applications, he decides he's going to make a documentary.
Yes.
That has never occurred to me.
It has not occurred to me.
I've never just been like, well, this mortgage has got to get paid, but you know what? Sharks. I'm doing a documentary about sharks.
If I'd only known... Anyway, it's very well done. He talks to the police who were involved, FBI, and as I said, virtually everyone involved in this is still alive, or certainly was for the documentary. And it turns out...
It's probably a lot easier to do that than if I was alive, like, you know what I'm going to do? A documentary about Prohibition. Who can I interview? Oh, no one. Oops.
So, I'm assuming this is a series because they'll talk about another evil genius. But man, this chick, I think some of my favorite parts were her former prison mates just going off about how whack she was. This
wiggity, wiggity, wiggity?
Yeah, wiggity, okay. Wiggity. She, right. Let's see, her husband died via an accident. Two boyfriends.
Wait.
She killed.
Quotation fingers accent?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
She killed two boyfriends. Didn't serve any jail time for that.
I feel like.
Self-defense.
I feel like homicide should have consequences.
Apparently not in her case. It's very compelling. And what I did like about it is it's four episodes, so I could see the end. And much as we've talked about before with serial killer, well, she wasn't a serial killer. She's just crazy. But it is fascinating, the insanity. And when you're in these people's homes, it's just how did you live? Because there's no way. I mean, in one of the homes, you couldn't even see the floor at all, ever. There's animal feces everywhere. There's this, there's that. And
well, I don't think I've ever been in a situation. Well, I have certainly not been in a situation, but I've never even seen one that like, I was like, well, that hoarder is very organized. Like you don't see it where like, okay, if you, the library in Beauty and the Beast, mm-hmm. technically he's a book hoarder, mm-hmm. but it's really, really like well displayed. It's set up, it's organized. Only instance of that kind of hoarding where I've just been like, well, you know, it's not hurting anybody. And
exactly.
technically, like if they had kids there, CPS is not going to show up. It's okay. I'll allow it.
Now, in this case with this woman, she ended up getting, I think, her master's in education. But because she just wasn't quite right in the head, she never could hold a job. They didn't really explain why she couldn't. They just said she was a little different. But when they show pictures of her in her 20s, she is an attractive woman, clearly intelligent enough to get a 4-year degree and a master's. And then just everything went down the tubes because she was crazy.
Well,
there's that.
I mean, listen, we all have to fight like uphill in some cases, but I feel like being crazy is really, it's a hurdle that's really tough to climb.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. So, and yet sad. The screen does go blank when the guy blows up, but then they show him from a distance and it's like, because after he blew up, they wanted to preserve the device so they could figure out who done it. So in order to do that, they cut his head off.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What is that? Question. Here, I'm raising my hand. Mm-hmm, you can't see it. Mm-hmm, it's a podcast. Mm-hmm. Why does that help identify the device?
Because like, couldn't remove it from his body.
So they just...
Imagine one handcuff, but big enough to go around your neck.
That still seems like an odd... They couldn't just, you know, cut around it? Or did it have a zipper or a button?
His family's still very upset.
Okay, let me put this out there. If you ever, like, for some reason, like, I've collapsed and you can't get my shirt off, don't... cut off my head.
No. Okay. In their defense, he was already deceased.
Right. But again, like even as like a family, like I don't, mm-hmm. it feels like desecration of the dead.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there. Like alive, definitely
that's
don't cut off my head.
That's pretty much what they
said. But I feel like my mom would be mad.
Yes.
If you cut off my head.
Yes.
Even after I was dead.
And that's precisely what happened.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I get that.
Yes. Now, you can tell that the gentleman who got blown up was perhaps not playing with a full deck, but did have a job and lived on his own, but struck me from the footage they showed of him that he might have been easy to manipulate.
I have worked with enough people to say that just because you have a job does not mean that you are playing with a full deck. Nice. Like... More than likely, you bought your set of knives off eBay, and it didn't come with all of them.
Yes.
Like there's not a full drawer of silverware like in there. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's the case of several of these, because clearly there were two people who actually could form complete sentences and thoughts, and then the others just struck me as people who were very easily manipulated. And sadly,
they're like that dog in Is It Up? The one that's just constantly like, oh, need to, oh, ball,
swirl. So it is interesting. It's very sad. And by the way, if you have a homemade pipe bomb on you, you don't like blow up into bits and pieces. It was kind of self-contained, and so it's just like he's sitting there talking, and then there's a puff of smoke, and it's like. You could tell that he doesn't think that this is real because it turns out he knew the people who did this to him and thought it was just say you have a bomb and say you have this. But apparently it really was a bomb.
So it's like It's like, okay, listen, I need you to act like I've cut your brakes, okay?
Yes.
I don't want the cops to think that you're just faking it. So whenever you're just careening through traffic, I want you to look like you're scared. Mm-hmm. But then you actually cut their brakes and you're like, I can't stop.
Yeah.
Like that? Okay. Yeah.
Because when he goes to rob the bank, you know, he stops, he gets a lollipop, he's waiting in line a little bit, you know.
Maybe he's just super, super cash.
Yeah.
It. He's like,
what? And he did, I mean, it's horrible because you can hear the conversation and he does seem super cash. And then you just hear ticking and he says, I don't think I have a lot of time here. Oh my God.
And yeah, I think you may be right about your assessment. Like of it, because I feel like maybe there are, I don't know a lot of people that wear bombs, mm-hmm. but it, I really feel like even if I had agreed to it, I'd still just kind of be a little, there would be some kind of anxiety mm-hmm. or something involving it.
And what I truly don't understand, and they didn't bring this up, he was to rob a bank to get a certain amount of money. And then he walks out of the bank and the police are there and then he sits down. What was the point of the masterminds of putting an actual bomb on him, which would in turn maybe blow up the money too? How were they going to benefit from this? Or are they just messing with a guy they could mess with? That's the only thing that wasn't addressed, and that's what I took away from it. What was the point of having him rob the bank if you were never going to get the money to begin with?
I think you may have covered this earlier when you said that a lot of these people just aren't playing like with all the pieces of the
crazy.
Lego set. Like
a lot of crazy.
Okay, like when you and I, like, okay, if we were on top of a mountain, I was like, we should totally jump. You'd be like, no, we'll die mm-hmm. if we do that. And I'll be like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Let's not jump. See, you and I have worked that situation out so that like we don't die. There's no danger involved. But if I'm an idiot or like, the train just doesn't go all the way, and I go, hey, we should totally jump. And you go, yeah, we should.
And go, 1, 2, 3, Butch.
Yeah. I'm just, that's kind of your, I think most logical people, like as much as, okay, I'd love to have like $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
Robbing the bank, hypothetically, can do that. But I'm like, oh, when they catch me, I will go to jail.
Yeah. Kind of a downside.
And I'm just like, I shouldn't rob the bank, or I might get shot. I don't like being shot.
No.
I'm not, you know what? I'm just going to go to work day after day and get money that way.
Yeah.
Instead of robbing the bank.
A lot of crazy. Yeah. So it is fascinating how the whole thing was connected and there were six people involved, and that it is fascinating. It's sad and disturbing. And there's a lot of mental illness involved with this, but it's called Evil Genius, and I watched it. You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about what is worth your time on the streaming media. Now.
Right now?
Have you watched anything?
That isn't superhero related?
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
Like, which much to the chagrin of my wife.
The big deal, what you'll be watching with your children next, is The Dark Crystal dropped on Netflix.
Now, we had talked about, we ended up going to the movies instead, but I did mention that because Dark Crystal is one of Kristen's favorite childhood movies. Like, in the same way that, like, I never shut up about Superman, Ghostbusters, like, or anything like that. I mean, you've talked to me more than once. You've heard it.
I'm aware.
I don't need to list it back off for you. But this is one of her films. Both of us have a reasonable, like, fascination with the Henson, like, puppetry, Muppetry.
Love the Hensons.
And, like, the first, like, if you haven't seen the first Dark Crystal, like, A, definitely see that before you watch this.
No.
But like, no.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
It's a movie entire, like, okay, with the Muppet movies, you have humans interacting with Muppets. If I'm remembering right, there is not like an actual, like, there's no like animals, there's no human, like they're all puppets.
Yes.
In that movie. And it's just, it has its own flavor, like, because of that, like, the way everything moves, the way everything looks, like it just, you have not watched a movie like Dark Crystal. And Jim Henson back in the day, like as far as like practical effects went, like unless you're Stan Winston, like you couldn't touch that stuff. Like it was always just this visual feast. And I, as I understand it, there's a lot of practical effects in this new one. Like I would say, yes, there's a reasonable degree of CG, probably maybe not in the forefront, but like I don't think you can get by without doing anything these days without a modicum of CG.
A modicum, yes. So I remember when Dark Crystal came out, and I remember saying, that looks stupid, and then never saw it. I have seen that movie. I've seen parts of it. So I recognize they're like the big lumbering bird-like people are the bad guys.
Yes.
And they're not actual people.
That's
and then you have the little elf pretty things, and they're the good guys.
I
want to
say the record storybook I had of it gave it a little bit longer description, but yes, you're not far off.
Yeah, and in my mind, I also mix it up, the original film, with Fraggle Rock, something else I also did not watch.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Seriously. We need to cover Fraggle Rock because I saw every episode.
Wow.
And the Saturday morning animated TV show that spun off from it.
I was aware those two things existed, but because of where I was in my life, just wasn't a thing.
If we were to go back in time to my 20s and I was going on a first date or something like that, my knowledge of Fraggle Rock and probably all things Henson would probably put the girl off from wanting to go on further dates with me. If that's a good description of
that's
it.
Hilarious.
Like I did like in high school, like I did not lead with that. I wasn't just like, so... Have you seen The Dark Crystal? Did you know in Muppets Take Manhattan?
Okay, I tell you this
about
my lack of knowledge regarding The Dark Crystal,
sure,
except the very, very basics. Going into it, I don't know anything. I know there is a crystal. I assume it is dark. That's about
it. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not
that's
wrong.
That's about it. So I did read that this takes place in... it's the same problem that they're having on Amazon. It's Lord of the Rings, that's the movie. But this is the time before Lord of the Rings, the movie. So this is the time before The Dark Crystal, the movie. So some of the characters, I think, are not in it, but there are creatures that are the same. So you would recognize the creatures, but it's not the Gelflings you've come to know and love.
I think one of the interesting things when you're dealing with like animation and like prosthetics, like, okay, we know that like, okay, in Force Awakens, that's not the same guy that played Chewbacca in the 1977 Star Wars. But because it's prosthetics, hypothetically, like you can get what looks to be the exact same person. But like, okay, in Solo, we didn't get like Harrison Ford playing him. But, like, you can make another puppet that looks just like that puppet. Like, I'm wondering why they decided to go that route. Because it seems like if you're going to make a sequel or a prequel, you'd want to include characters that existed in the film or whatever it is that you're previously basing it on.
Wow. I am now looking at the cast of the thing on Netflix. First, let me tell you my immediate impressions, and then I'll read you the cast. The first 20 minutes or so, I'm like, all right, come on, do something. Come on, exposition. I'm about to be bored. Come on. By the end of the first episode, I got into it. It didn't grab me in the first 2 seconds, except to say it is beautifully done.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a visual feast.
I have not got to actually watch it yet. Like, I think it's about, 10 parts, I want to say?
Probably, yeah.
But like the preview for it, like in particular, it's stunning. You cannot help but like just kind of be drawn in by the visuals in it.
It really is lovely. Now, the things that I noticed when watching it was the good guys all seem to have British accents, and the bad guys sound like drag queens. And I mean a drag queen in the classic sense of Benny Hill being a man wearing a dress, talking in a high-pitched voice, and Monty Python.
After you said the word drag queen and classic, I really wanted to, I was just like, I don't know what that word combination means. I need to hear more.
Comedians, men in drag. Like Uncle Milty.
Jack Lemmon in yes. Some Like It Hot.
Yes, except a bit more shrill. And when the bad guy, vulture creatures, vulture-y reptile
which is
things.
Their, I believe, in the mythology yeah. is their name.
Yeah. yeah. They sound like, I don't like spam! And so it's just, that's, I just hear Monty Python.
I need to do a little sidebar and ask you to never do that again. Like, I don't even know if I'll listen to this episode of the podcast for fear that, like, I might not skip over that part. That was my,
I have hidden talents.
Sure, so, talents. Yes, yes.
The people in this, it now makes sense. You have Mark Hamill, Helena Bonham Carter, Andy Samberg is in it. Didn't pick up on that. Simon Pegg, Eddie Izzard, Jason Isaacs.
I mean, wow.
Just so many. Harvey Firestein. Yes, other people who, lots of fancy, Sigourney Weaver does the narrator at the very, very beginning.
That's actually kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
Wow.
And I could
Netflix
just go on
really
and
does,
on and on.
Has got all of the money.
Yes.
Well, that Disney doesn't have.
So the, again, for me, I'm just hearing it, particularly I'm hearing the Monty Python sketch, other than the spam sketch, or it's when the old ladies are being the toughs, the street toughs, and they're knocking over the telephone booths. That's the cackling and types of behavior I am hearing and taking in with this. And now I realize one of those voices is Mark Hamill and one is Andy Samberg. And so I'm going to have to listen again. But there's just a lot of screechiness. It is not, clearly it's not poorly acted, but I just have that in my head. And I find that distracting to me.
Now, not for nothing. Like none of the names that you mentioned are like nobodies. And Mark Hamill certainly is not a nobody. But like, that guy has an animation like resume as long as my arm, like the Joker in Batman, the animated, like he has done everything. Like, I mean, as much as like, I'd say at least like just as an actor, like he probably never got a better role than Luke Skywalker, but like this guy is basically like, the Ian McKellen of the animation world. Like it's just, he's,
dare I say, the Mel Blanc.
Sure. Well, yeah, I would even go that far. Yeah.
So you've got great talent here. It is a beautiful thing to watch, but again, perhaps because I did not see it at a tender age, I am enjoying it, but I see it in terms of this, they're a mix of Hobbit and elves. This is Lord of the Rings, and we're getting everyone to go on the journey.
Well,
and
keep in mind as well, when the initial film was made, this is also a world that said the Lord of the Rings wasn't an unfilmable book. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I, through the benefit of hindsight, know that that is not true. But
correct.
Like, if you will look through like the history of trying to get a Lord of the Rings movie made, like just a lot of people tried very unsuccessfully. And like Lucas even wanted to get the rights to that book. But I think whenever he got some kind of resistance from the Tolkien estate, that's when he made Willow, which even when you start breaking it down, like you're like, he just started changing words in the synopsis for Lord of the Rings. He's like, ring, changed to a baby. What is that? Yeah, her, my, I don't know, Morgana? No, that's already a thing. We'll have to, Bathmorda? Yeah, that's what we'll name her. Like, like I really think that he takes, like, white out, and he's just like, yeah, put that name in there.
That's hilarious.
Aragorn? Man Mardigan. There we go.
Same thing. So it is. What do I want to say? You know where they're headed with a lot of these types of characters, because they're very much a stereotype in that this is this kind of race and this is that kind of race. So you have this moralistic backbone to it, which is not a bad thing, but it's something that you're going to recognize.
Yeah.
And I can't say it's a laugh riot. It is extraordinarily well done. For me, I get bored easily. I just wanted to get past the exposition. I just want to, let's start doing something. So it took at least a half an hour and or the first episode to start doing something to make me want to watch it more. So, yes, now I thoroughly enjoy it. I said to my children, hey, let's watch The Dark Crystal together as a family. And Anna Grace said, oh, I've seen the trailer and those creatures look horrifying. Pass. So I'm going to approach that again, because I think they would enjoy it, and or I'm curious to see what they would say.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, you didn't have the benefit of any kind of nostalgia for it. And I don't, like, that film is not one that seems to have a, like, kind of a, okay, every, like, 5 to 10 years, it seems like there's a new iteration of the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. Like, I had my version, like, My younger cousins had their version, like my sons have their version, but like I don't feel like Dark Crystal has kind of had that resurgence until really just now. And there's about a 30 year disconnect between the original movie and this. So like I guess they kind of are coming into it with fresh eyes.
Yes, they would. And it is lovely. So it is just what you think. It's the Age of Resistance. It is prior to A New Hope in that they're just building the resistance.
And and resistance is not futile.
No, it is not. So it's just, it starts with one person finds out something is wrong and having to convince others and, you know, and so on and so forth. So now that I realize Helena Bonham Carter's in it, I understand why everyone sounds like a posh British lady. And
because in fact
they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And
now
it is well done and enjoyable.
Netflix did announce, like, it's not, it, like, I think they're still in the writing process, but the same animation studio that did the Castlevania series for Netflix is also doing what's being described as a follow-up of the He-Man cartoon. That was very popular, and I was in the bag for this. Mm-hmm. Like, but before like I got into Batman, before like I got into a lot of the stuff that like I'm still into, 4-year-old, like 5-year-old me was hardcore into that He-Man cartoon. And I guess it's picking up right where that show ended. But the way that they're describing it is saying like, all that stuff you didn't get to see because, like, Man-at-Arms was like, well, kids, and the moral of today's story is we should always count on our friends because together we can achieve more. They're like, you're getting to see those fights. See, He-Man has a magic sword, like, of power. Like, you really never saw him, like, drive that into somebody's chest. Like, they're saying, like, all that stuff as a kid that, like, when you had those toys, this cartoon is going to be, like, the box art on those things. Like, it looked like something out of the original, like, Conan novels. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just hardcore. And then when you got into the cartoon, like, it was this kind of fun, like, Filmation, like, the Super Friends. Mm-hmm. It was very Super Friends in its animation. There was, like, nothing was brutal was going on. Like, it was a Saturday morning cartoon. At the end of the day, there was always a moral and evil lost.
Well, I assume that eventually evil will lose. I will say it flitted across my mind as the characters, because the characters, of course, they're characters with names, but they're also different races that live on this planet, whatever, this space. And
you covered that. Hit that one out of the park.
Yeah, because apparently they're not going to say Mithra because it sounds like Mithril, so they're just calling it Thra.
Or maybe it's like whenever like you're the guy that says let's order some za, but you mean pizza.
Yeah, I hate like those that. Kind of people.
It's like slang like that, yeah, but for no. this place.
So what did strike me was, oh, so these creatures, they're the they know Luigi. They sound Italian, like stereotypical Italian. They're not even speaking words I can understand, but they're not speaking Italian either. And they're podlings.
Man, I think you nailed that one on the head. Like, when I think of, like, offensive Italian-American stereotype,
mm-hmm.
Luigi yeah. is... I mean, Mario's brother can come no closer to being an offensive Italian-American stereotype. That, I mean, just, you nailed it. Nailed yeah. it.
So, there are... it is not unlike Phantom Menace... In that with each different type of...
Let me just say this. You want people to watch this, right? This is a binge, correct? That's what I'm getting
I think it is a binge for most people, and I am enjoying it. And because I really don't know how it's going to end, because I realize it takes place prior to the movie that I don't recall or haven't seen, I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it. But... It does make me think of Monty Python and Phantom Menace in a weird kind of way.
That's probably the first time anybody has made a comparison using both of those mm-hmm. things simultaneously.
And yet that's really, that's what I'm picking up on it.
You say Peep is going to die? You say Jaja Binks.
Hey.
I don't know if you remember this. That film was not beloved. Upon release.
Yes, I know. And one
buckets,
of my coworkers loves it because she loves Jar Jar Binks because of his ears. So all day today, I had to miso this and miso that because I just couldn't stop myself.
Well, I mean, my six-year-old loves that movie,
which
too.
Is your fault for letting them see it.
Listen, I am a completionist.
No,
no,
Adam, you had a choice to make. I made that choice. I didn't tell them it existed. Okay? I made that choice.
Okay. Mason and I have had the discussion before, and when he told me what the best Star Wars movies are, I almost had to walk out of the room.
Exactly.
Because if your conversation about Star Wars does not begin with, well, obviously Empire, I almost am not listening. Okay,
it's hard to even.
I'm not even listening after
exactly.
after you do that. Like if you're ever like Attack of the Clones is vastly like
no, it
I
is
just
not.
I can't. I can't no. do it. I can't
but
do it.
But you see, I also understand if you show a 4, 5, 6-year-old child one of those films, they might like it.
Well, here is what I think Lucas was doing when he highlit the episode numbers. Kids can count. And if I show them 4, 5, and 6, and they know that Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker are 7, 8, 9, and I only show them part 3, they're just going to be like, wait, hold on. One, two. Wait, where are episodes 1 and 2? And I'll be like, there's no episode 1 and 2.
Mine never questioned it because they were Roman numerals. They were little kids.
I have taught my kids to think about things
again,
and question.
You
my
did,
fault.
It's you
my,
didn't have yeah, all of them when they
oh,
were
man.
4, 5, 6.
I'm questioning that. I'm really questioning that. I'm just being like, maybe blind obedience
is a great
Tell you
thing.
What, I have another one.
Nope.
I'm going to roll that dice. See where it lands.
All I know is one day the elder child comes home. She's in 7th grade and asks me why her friends are talking about Star Wars and saying the phrase Jar Jar Binks, because she knows Star Wars and has no idea who that is. And my response was, clearly, their parents didn't love them enough.
Or that's not really Star Wars.
Their parents chose poorly. Anyway, we're reviewing a Dark Crystal, which I think is very much binge-worthy. It does have some gross stuff. The Foley artist had a great time. Just, imagine like a foot getting stuck in mud and the noise it makes when you pull it out. I'm guessing that's what they used for when the peeper pulls an eyeball out. And of course, there has to be a spider, but it's called a spitter. But in my mind, I'm hearing Megamind saying spider. So I watch it through a different lens.
Henson Influence Productions, or productions themselves, have always had, I will remind you that Labyrinth also featured the Bog of Eternal Stench.
Yes. And I realize that had I have seen that as an older adult, I would have recognized it for the drivel that it is. But considering the the age that I saw it, I was very impressionable. And man, Bowie.
Okay.
I mean,
All right.
I love Labyrinth. But I think if I had seen it the first time at like the age of 30, I would have said, wow, Bowie looks great. What a dumb movie. But no, I didn't do that at all. It's like, oh, I have to watch that again. Oh, I have to watch that again. I would go and live with him. Blah, 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 blah. So.
Well, you and I obviously watched it in very different mindsets because I was like, this is fascinating. It's like Wizard of Oz. Like,
no, I didn't cross it.
But, well, okay. I want to say that's like 86, 87, something like that. So I was probably around like 6 or 7 when I first watched it, and I was just like neat because I loved the Henson stuff.
Yeah,
as I've watched it when I watched it, it kind of in the same way that Ghostbusters plays very differently to a 4-year-old mm-hmm. and a 21-year-old. Labyrinth is also that type of movie.
Yes,
that you're just like
strangely disturbing.
You're like neat puppets. Who's that? Is he? What's that? And now I see it, and I'm like David Bowie, you son of a gun! Look at you! Look at you!
Baby stealer!
Dance, dance, magic dance!
Anyway, what a great outfit. So, by the way, that's very popular for people to cosplay that David Bowie outfit. But we're not talking about Bowie.
We're talking about
Dark Crystal.
Really, just pick any outfit David Bowie ever wore. Perfect Halloween costume.
Exactly.
It's probably going to be form-fitting. I wouldn't call them comfortable, but you will get attention.
Yes. So, I think the Dark Crystal would be certainly no problem 10 and up. If you have a real squeamish kid or maybe these scary vulture-y reptile things, I could see some kids might be bothered by them, maybe if they're 5 or so.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
You have to know your kid for that. I would have let mine watch this at the age of 5 or 6, but yours might not be into it. But for the most part, family fare and extraordinarily and beautifully done, and I can only imagine the 10,000 years it took to put this all together. But it is an excellent piece of work in that all of the vulture reptile people sound like Monty Python. Anyway.
That's also mildly influenced by Phantom Menace.
Yes, very much so. So try to watch it now, because I know now that's how Adam will see it, which is mostly why I said it. You won't be able to unhear it.
I can't. The ideas keep floating.
It's a blessing and a curse. Anyway, that was the big one on the Netflix. And I know I watched something that was just incredibly horrible, and I couldn't get past the first episode. And then I have apparently erased it from my memory. It was that bad.
I think that is your brain going into survival mode, mm-hmm. and just that you have the sense memory of it, but you don't have actual memory of it because of the trauma that you experienced.
Yes, that is precisely what happened to whatever it was. Because I thought, oh, this is definitely a cringe. I need to remember that I tried to watch this because it was just that bad, and it's gone. Anyway,
it's the same way. Like if you eat, you know, a bad piece of fruit and your stomach vomits it back up. Mm-hmm. It's just like that. Just mm-hmm. like that.
Just like that. So I look forward to watching something fabulous for next week. Oh, I remembered it.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to make this fast. Carnival Row, Amazon Prime. It's got Orlando Bloom. You got me right there. Legolas is in it. And it's got a girl that looks like a dragonfly, kind of. And I think they solve crime. I'm in. until I watched it. It is ponderous at best. Again, there's some sort of war with the Fae, the fairy people, and there are other creatures involved, but there's some sort of war, and then there's some sort of pact that doesn't turn out well for the Fae, and Orlando Bloom solves crime, but he's friends with them, but most people aren't, and it's very much a class struggle, the Fae have no rights, yada, yada, yada. It should be so much better. It's like, you know how Game of Thrones, where's the one land that the sun never shined and everything was always dirty?
Winterfell.
Yes. It's like Winterfell, but most of them have British accents. And it's more like 1800s kind of dress.
I'm going to be quite frank. I kind of wish I had a British accent.
It is pedantic. And the problem is it's boring. Now, I didn't stay for the dragonfly on dragonfly mid-air sex scenes, which apparently are there. And they're not actual dragonflies. They're fae.
They're like minotaurs in that they're yes. like half and half.
Apparently, that's supposed to. There's a whole thing about that, and so I'm guessing it's going the Lord of the Rings full on nudity route. But it was just so boring to me.
I want the box art for the eventual DVD release to contain everything that you've said. I stopped at the dragonfly on dragonfly. It's pedantic and boring. Like they put an ellipsis. It's like it's pedantic and boring. Like
and it's just everyone looks dirty except for Orlando Bloom's face, which is beautiful.
I don't think it can. I think it immediately rejects like dirt and like any kind of facial imperfection. Like if a pimple tried to go on there, it would just be shot by an arrow from his bow.
Yes. Don't touch my braid. Boom. It tells people who I am.
Look with your elf eyes.
Yeah.
Wait, does he have elf eyes?
No, he doesn't have the braid.
Okay, wait, you know what? He does. Everywhere he goes. When he was in Elizabethtown, he had elf eyes.
He did. So maybe a few episodes in, it gets interesting. I was slogging my way through this, and I was mildly excited. It's like, this could be fun. There's a dragonfly girl thing, and Orlando Bloom, and he solves crime. Oh, that's right, because there's a serial killer called, wait for it, Jack, and he only kills the magical creatures. It's so
I really feel like instead of this, Amazon should have pursued a, let's call it Legolas series. Like,
yes.
And I would have liked it more and or would have heard of it or watched it.
So all I can say regarding Carnival Row is watch Good Omens again. Because if you haven't seen it, you're doing yourself a disservice. I cannot recommend this at all. But I haven't seen the entire series. Maybe it becomes wonderful.
But I don't, like, you're not middled on it. You're not like, well, I wasn't off-put. Like, you literally just told me I cannot recommend this at all.
I cannot.
Like, I'm just saying, like, I don't see a television series, like, just mid-air, like, doing a 180 and just being like, holy cow. Total dreck for the first five episodes. Somehow or another, the last five are brilliant. Some of the greatest scripted television that I've ever seen.
Yeah, no. And again, that would be amusing if Amazon Prime would put this as an ad saying, can't recommend this at all, Jane Ellen. And then, boring.
I still think the it's pedantic. And boring is that's the one that goes on the very bottom, like, and it's some of it's in capital letters.
And I don't get, I guess it's a carnival because some of them are freaks. I don't know. It's just, so that's Carnival Row.
Well,
on Amazon
we
Prime.
We can't put that on. It does not translate well to box art.
Yeah. So hard pass on that. Sorry, Orlando. And then you have Dark Crystal, very watchable, and Evil Genius. Not so much for the kids, but Chris would like it.
Evil.
And that's it for Binge or Cringe. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.